management or ownership of WGCH Radio.
I promise you that golf drive sounds better than the three main hosts of this radio show. It sounds better tonight, but this is the Clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. It's a better drive than Bob Small would offer. Sean Kilkelly's drive would be pretty good. He's back in the studio. Alongside of me, I'm Rob Adams. My drive stink is Mark Jeffers.
And my, we all know my golf game is terrible.
You are incredible.
And Dave Tromeo is...
Mini golf, that's all you.
I can putt.
I know you can.
You
can
putt.
Our secret guest
I've
tonight, which will our promo guest...
He's the one I want on the range.
No, no, but I can out-putt him, but that's another...
I've heard that story.
Later. I know, but anyways,
I've heard that story.
I can't believe it.
Mark, you
he
made one
there.
Lucky putt. I think I'd have to put my money on our guest.
It's a surprise guest.
Special guest, surprise guest.
How are you? Dave?
I'm very good, thank you.
What's new and exciting? How's Manhattanville?
Manhattanville University now. We have our graduation tomorrow night for our graduate program, Support Business Management. About 15 people graduating.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We had an advisory board meeting recently with yourself, the chairman of the advisory board, and our special guest, who wasn't able to make it, but we'll get him up to speed after the show.
By the way, the special guest is no surprise. I promoted it on social media. I also promoted it during today's Brunswick lacrosse game. So
I think we should just keep referring to him as special guest.
We weren't sure he was coming until, you know, until he actually arrived. But all right. So 21 years ago, our first guest.
We need harps now. We need some flashback music.
I know, exactly. So 21 years ago, I'll do it in a quiet voice.
Ooh, nice, nice. I like this.
21 years ago, our first guest came up with this crazy Clubhouse sports radio show. And look at us now. It is with great pleasure to introduce Brian Kroll, general manager at Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point, PGA Master Professional, Sirius XM PGA Tour radio host, CBS Sports Masters on the Range co-host, and author. Brian, welcome back to your clubhouse.
Wow.
Hi-oh.
That was a beautiful intro, and to be honest, it is a little, it's a lovely flashback, and so great to be here with you guys at MTK. What a great hotel. Yeah. Nice spot here in Mount Kisco. The IPA is cold and smooth, and I appreciate that. But it's great to see Bob Small and Rob Adams and Mark and Dave. You guys are doing just a great job. Everybody's... doing fantastic work here on the Clubhouse, and it's just really nice to be back. So thank you.
I have to say, take it from here. The pride I felt about, you know, when was the Masters? 6 weeks ago now? The pride I felt listening to you on CBS Sports with Michael Breed, who I did a show with for years.
Yeah.
Hear you guys together to rep GCH the way that you guys did, and what the I thought you guys sounded tremendous. I absolutely loved it. I'm so proud of you guys.
Well, it's the thrill of a lifetime, someone who loves golf and sports and broadcasting like we do. So for Michael and I to be there and be a small part of Masters history and telling those stories, it's one of those pinch-me moments, and it was my 14th straight year.
That's
so it's
amazing.
Been quite a run there at Augusta National Golf Club, and always an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah, tremendous.
And he's great on that, but you have to tell us about this commercial.
Please.
Because
I refuse to talk Shen Yun during this hour, okay? That's the last I'll mention
because
him. Dave, move on.
Every night we watch Jeopardy, I go, there's Brian.
We have to move on.
Okay. I was going to say, before we start reminiscing, tell us a little bit about Bally's, what's going on there.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I think a lot of folks may remember it as Trump Golf Links at Ferry Point, which is right at the base of the Whitestone Bridge in the Bronx. It is now Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point, and Bally's is doing a great job. They've come in and done a fantastic move in just keeping things at the highest level, and they've got a commitment to the community, which is second to none. We're excited about what we can do and the impact we can make with golf. So the golf course is fantastic. Signature Jack Nicklaus, 18 holes of golf. I call it a little bit of Scotland in the Bronx.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like that.
The skyline views of Manhattan are stunning. You've got the natural fescues and this beautiful link-style design. So we're very fortunate there. Noah McCahill is the superintendent, keeps the place in great shape, and we've got great leadership at the club level, a beautiful waterfront restaurant, yeah. and it's open to the public. You know, I think sometimes we're victims of our own success because it looks beautiful and it looks exclusive, but members of the public, just like you four, could drive in there and you wouldn't be turned away. Well, and I know that's not common for you.
I was just going to say, Brian, hold on. He said I could play golf there? Hold on. He would never look at any other courses he was there. I would never
go to the restaurant.
That's okay, thank you.
No, but it's beautiful. You're right, because you drive over that Whitestone Bridge if you're coming back from the airport. It's Bally's. You see it right there. And yeah. it looks really cool.
Yeah. People, when they're there and they're playing golf or dining at the restaurant, they forget they're in New York City. I mean, we are in New York City. Yeah. We're in the Bronx, and it's truly a gem, and we're very proud of the impact we're making in the Bronx and New York City, and it's an amenity for the city residents. They get discounted rates, and I think a lot of the private clubs around us are feeling the heat from that because we've got such incredible conditions, and we're keeping the speed of play up, trying to keep it to 4:45 or less. You know, people are wondering why would I pay huge dues and fees to be at a private club when I can come over to these conditions and enjoy Bally's. So it's great.
Dave and I were there one time a while back, LPGA, and you were very nice to show us a couple of the holes, yeah. which was kind of cool.
Really cool cars.
Yeah. All right. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
What aspect in golf, because you've been in golf for 30-plus years, do you enjoy the
most? Even though you're 25.
Even though you're 25. And I can say that because, you know, we're twins. Which do you enjoy most? Teaching?
Check, please.
Broadcast? Writing? Or playing?
Can I do a little spoiler here of who is due to come on your show later? Yeah. I hate to do this because you guys are the hosts and I'm just a guest, but I did see the...
He read something. Hold on. He actually did it. He did a pre-production meeting. Rob, hold on. This is big news coming.
He's ready.
I saw the guest list, and Matt Dobbins, who's a great friend of mine and is one of the 20 club pros who has earned their way into the PGA Championship, he is such an incredible player, such an incredible guy. It amazes me how club pros, my colleagues, can keep their game sharp enough to play... Not only play, but in many cases compete and contend and make the cut at major championships. Matt is top notch. But when you talk about what means the most to me in my golf career, I think it's what golf can do for people. I think it's, I know this sounds a little sappy, but it's the most benevolent sport there is. The opportunities to make an impact and to give back to communities and charities. When you talk about those impacts, everything is second to golf. Golf has this ability to bring people together and raise funds and raise awareness. And, you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate how many people you can help with this sport. And for me, it's been a lot about the kids and the veterans. And I'm just really proud to be a member of the PGA and to be working at Bally's and have those opportunities to make an impact in the community.
I think a lot of business deals have been closed on a golf course.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The networking, the doors that golf opens, incredible. And for all your listeners out there, and the younger ones especially, consider golf as a career. And we've talked about this, Dave. Manhattanville is doing a great job with sports management and all the different career avenues that are there, but you know, whether it's retail or event coordinator or, you know, tournament manager, there's caddying, there's food and beverage, and it's just the hospitality angles are incredible. So golf offers all of that, and I think a lot of people don't realize how many careers can be found in golf.
Agreed.
So many years, you said you've learned to appreciate things. Have you ever appreciated me yet, or is that, how's that working? How's that working for you, Brian?
I'm still working on it. Still working on it.
I just want to make sure that I'm still on that list. I know you appreciate a lot of things in your 30-plus years.
You know what? I've heard this statement in the past, but I'm going to say it right now. Mark Jeffers, you are on the Mount Rushmore of my career in terms of what's happened with golf, what's happened with broadcasting. You've been there. You were there at the start of a lot of those moments. Yeah.
It's kind of like that Twilight Zone where the guy who never dies. You know, he's like, that's Mark. He's just kind of,
I certainly hope we're recording this. Anyways.
You're on the back of the mountain.
Well, I didn't
say where you were on the mountain.
On the backside.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have Brian all the entire hour, so we're going to continue with him. But I want to, before we go to a, let me check my time. Oh, we've got time.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
Before we go to a break, I want to, first of all, how's the family? Give us a quick update on the Kroll family, and then I want to, and then I'm going to transition because, you know, you taught me how to transition. I'm going to transition to something.
It's a segue.
I know. It's a segue. Thank you. Yeah. So, how's the family first?
They're doing great. Thank you. I actually just came from spending a little time with my grandson. If
nice.
You can believe it, I am a grandfather. Little Addison Benjamin Kroll, ABC. He's about 18 months, and he is the cutest little man. So we're very fortunate. And the rest of the family, the kids and mom, everybody's doing great. So thank you for asking.
ABC swinging a club yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
oh,
it's happening.
Yeah. That's all we want to hear.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of family,
yep.
See, this is the transition, Brian.
Beautiful.
In case you want, you know, case you remember, look, segue, sorry.
Yeah, it would have been seamless if you didn't have to call
well,
it.
I have to call out because, and now, and this is why we're having fun tonight.
This
right?
is why.
I know. I was wondering when he's going to be on. Tell us about the Kroll family American brick bourbon.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Oh, let's go. Come on.
By the way,
he showed up. He showed up empty-handed tonight. I have not consumed it yet.
No, I have.
We have a
bottle very quickly.
If I wasn't so late, there would be a sample here for all of you to try. But that is an exciting venture. And my son and I co-founded this brand, American Brick Bourbon, and we found a great partner in a former golf student and a good friend of mine, and there again is how golf ties all these things together. And so we're working with my buddy Peter Deutsch at Deutsch Family Wine and Spirits. Peter and the Kroll family and a number of investors have put together this incredible vision for a four-grain bourbon originating here in New York. And it has been on the shelves of Total Wine and More across the country for a little over a year, and we are doing fantastic. It's called American Brick Bourbon. It's got 96 points, gold medals right out of the gate. So get to Total Wine and More and pick up a bottle of American Brick.
All right, Mark, you're on your own.
Yep.
I know. And the Jeffers family has sampled it with and all my family seems to enjoy it. I'm not a huge bourbon drinker, but however, I'll become one because of you, Brian.
Well, the problem with the Jeffers family is you tend to do shots. Like you don't savor the alcohol. It tends to be shot in.
No, we smell it before we drink it.
Which
is that okay?
Good. Which is good. Yeah.
You know, Peter Deutsch, though, I think isn't he? Him and Jim Nance are connected with the wine as well.
Yeah.
Because I think my wife has a connection somehow to the Deutsch. To Peter. So
yeah, Peter is fantastic. Yeah.
By the way, he's got
a lot of great connections, and Jim Nance is one of them.
Did I see you having lunch with Nance?
Yes. he's actually been a great friend. And, you know, we talk about, you know, I joke with Mark, but it's true, the opportunities that he has given me in broadcasting, I appreciate that. But, you know, Jim Nance has been a great mentor of mine, too, and we work together at CBS.
Yeah.
And to see your name among, you know, 20 names that are broadcasting that week, and Jim Nance and Dottie Pepper and Trevor Immelman, you know, Ian Baker Finch. So all these great
and Uncle
people.
Vern. Did you get to know Uncle Vern?
Know him very well.
Vern Lundquist.
What a legend.
Bless him. What a legend.
He is very good.
Stepped away. And
great
that
career.
That really ripped at my heart when he and Nance did a little back and forth. He and Jim Nance did the back and forth on Sunday, turning it from 16, and what a great job Vern has done every year.
Yep, just one of the sweetest guys you'll ever meet.
Tremendous.
And, I've been fortunate in that respect, especially with CBS, whether it's Jim Nance or Trevor Immelman, Ian Baker Finch, Vern, Dottie. These are all people that are just fantastic people. They're not only great at what they've done, and they're not only incredible golfers, they're just really, really sweet people. So CBS has a great crew.
And few do it better than the coverage of the Masters and CBS.
They do a great job. Unbelievable job.
Yep.
We're going to do more with Mr. Kroll, but first,
I can hear the Masters music. Now, go ahead.
We have to pay the bills.
We do.
So
We are going to send a commercial break. Before we do that, Rob, you have a...
I have a bill I can pay right now. Splash in Bedford Hills is proud to be entering its 30th year of serving the Bedford Hills community. We offer a complete range of services for the maintenance of your car, including full-service hand washing, washing your car using thick foaming soap and lamb's wool mitts. We vacuum the interior, wipe down the dash and the door jams, all in less than 15 minutes with no appointment needed. Or opt for the super fast exterior express wash. You're in and out in no time. Plus, you can use our free self-service vacuums when you get a wash. And there's our full-service oil change Mark needs at all the time, which includes a 21-point inspection and a free car wash. We have all sorts of detailing services available while you wait, all the way to our 5-star complete detail. What could be more convenient? Your car deserves a better car wash and oil change. Splash, at located at 570 North Bedford Road in Bedford Hills. And yes, we always do say at the end of the copy read, Splash. Fish. And on that note, we shall take a break from here in Mount Kisco at Hotel MTK. We're inside the hub. Come say hello. We're back after this on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Greenwich has its own sports talk program. Doubleheader weekday afternoons at 4 on 1490 WGCH. Join me, Rob Adams, as we talk about all sports, high schools, youth sports, college, the pros, and anything else. It's your show, so let's make it interactive. It's lively and it's fun. Call me at 203-661-5051 and be a part of it. That's Doubleheader, weekdays at 4 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Folks, welcome back to the clubhouse, 1490 WGCH. Rob Adams, Mark Jeffers with me.
By the way, he's laughing, which is a good thing.
He otherwise, put me up to that.
If he had actually stormed out, because once in a while, you know, we miss Brian. You know, he's been the creator of the show, so we want him to sound like
that. I'm here because of the two of you still doing the show. You guys brought me in
once in
a
while. You guys
ago.
Cry every night after the show about Brian not being in.
When's like, Kroll going to come back?
Remember Brian?
I don't believe any of this.
I gave him 55 cents for tonight.
And the thing I always appreciate about Brian is he had a standard. If something was wrong technically, boy, he'd hunt me down, and he and I would talk about it every day. How do we do this and do it better? Never accusing, never yelling at me, but it was always, how do we do this and do it better? And believe me, he knew. He knew how I felt.
There you go.
Always wanted to do it the right way.
You got to, you know, excellence is something you should achieve.
I understand.
Yes.
I'm very happy to welcome our new partner, the Metropolitan Section PGA of America guest, and Brian, as a surprise to Matt Dobbins, head professional at Meadowbrook Club, who just qualified for the PGA Championship. Matt is a highly decorated player in the section and nationally. He heads to Valhalla to play in his sixth PGA Championship. Matt, welcome to the clubhouse.
Congratulations.
If I had known I had to follow Brian Cole, I never would have agreed to this.
You know, I got to tell you, Matt, that's why we kept it a secret. Anyways, congratulations on your clutch finish at the 2024 PGA Professional Championship. Tell us a little bit about the final round and how was Frisco?
Frisco was windy, and it was rainy, and it was cold, and then it was hot. It was typical Texas weather. You know, the guys who navigated the starting and stopping and the ever-changing winds, you know, in terms of direction and velocity, you know, those are the guys who made it to Valhalla. I just was lucky enough to sneak through the back door there at the very end with a birdie on the last and punch my ticket to my 6-1.
So you've earned your spot at Valhalla. Have you played there before?
Never played there, though. I think I'm going to get a practice round in on the simulator tomorrow at Meadowbrook. I'm pretty sure we have it on our list of courses, so I think I'm going to give it a look tomorrow while it's raining.
Hey, Matt, I got to jump in and just say how proud I am of you. It's so incredible. We had 15 professionals from the Met section try to get through to Valhalla, and thank goodness Dobbins got in there. We didn't have the success rate we were hoping for, but it's so good to see you perform at that level, and those conditions were crazy. And it came right down to the stretch, man. My heart was pounding, and I was watching from home, but congratulations. It's so cool to see you get through.
Thanks, Brian. I mean, listen, your heart was pounding. What do you think mine was doing? When they moved that PGA Championship up to May, it altered the preparation sequence that we have as Met area professionals. You know, we're still coming out of winter. So to be ready for that event is not so easy anymore. And I think it kind of shows with how few guys are getting through year to year. And I feel really fortunate to be the one representing the Met this year.
You know, one of the things that occurred to me also is there seems to be a little edge for the Southern club professionals since they're hosting it down at Frisco. I mean, not just because of the preparation time, like you alluded to, but the conditions. I heard that the course is a little different than what we're accustomed to up here in the north. And you add all that together, and there's a little edge for those Southern boys.
Well, it's certainly different. If by different you mean not as good, it's just really different, you know. It's a championship venue, but not in the sense that we have here in New York. It's a very different place than Wingfoot or Shinnecock or places like that. It's very much a modern championship golf course in that it's got a ton of length. It's got generous fairways, but when you are off of those fairways, if you hit a foul ball, you are in a penalty area and are not really offered a chance to recover. So it's a unique challenge, and you combine the really hard crosswinds into the winds and then the severe sort of Gil Hans greens complexes, and all of a sudden it's really easy to shoot 80.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot better than that, my friend. That was an incredible performance. We're so proud of you. I mean, as colleagues up here in the Met section, we could not be prouder. And I know your family and all your friends, but club pros across the country are looking at you as a beacon of what being a PGA professional and a great player in our vocation is really all about. I wanted to ask you quickly about Meadowbrook and what this means to your club and being a club pro. I want to hear about the reception. Was there a ticker tape parade in Long Island, or they have to be awfully happy to see you at this level of success?
They are. They're very happy. I think most of them were sort of asking what the heck took so long. I mean, I've been there 6 years and they thought they were bringing over a really good player. And then all of a sudden I stopped qualifying for PGAs, but they've been over the moon great in everything I've ever done. They let me run the golf operation the way that I think it should be run. They give me a lot of freedom and to sort of maintain the culture of Meadowbrook and promote it in the area, whether it's playing or teaching or just talking it up with colleagues. And I get the opportunity to do that a lot, as I'm doing right now. It really is, in my opinion, the premier place, premier golf-oriented private club in Nassau County, and one of the best on Long Island. And I'm proud to be a small piece of it. And, gosh, fingers crossed, I'd love to retire there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just one of the best clubs in the Met section. It's one of the best in the country. It is such a great culture they've created there, And I know how fortunate they are to have Matt Dobbins leading their golf program. And this just is icing on the cake, man. We are so, so happy for you. And, of course, I don't have the game of Matt Dobbins, but I can talk a pretty good game. I'm going to be down there in Valhalla with CBS, so I'm going to hunt you down, my friend, and we'll get you on the camera down there with CBS. So congratulations again.
Now hold on. The CBS, okay. do we get a promotion from that, from with the clubhouse and CBS?
I'll bring you back a hat.
All right, there you go.
There we go. I'd take one.
Slightly used hat too, I bet you.
There you go. Matt, before we let you go, I wanted to, and Brian's here as well. So can you just tell our audience a little bit about what makes the Met section and the Met PGA Foundation so special?
Well, I'll tell you what I think it is, and you know, not everybody shares the same opinion I do, but you know, when you get a super high concentration of top-end golf courses, both public and private, located in a very, very tight geographic area. It brings together the best, both the best amateur players, the best professional players, and it becomes a bit of an arms race amongst the clubs to see who can present sort of the best experience for their members and guests. And I think that's what makes our area so special. And that's what allows us to do neat things like create this foundation and really make a difference in people's lives. So, those little, you can't walk three blocks on Long Island without hitting a great club. I mean, it's really amazing how the average club on Long Island, if it were anywhere else in the country, would be considered a great club. Mm. And the big ones overshadow the great ones, and the great ones overshadow the really good ones. And there just aren't any bad ones. And I think that's what makes our area special.
Well, Matt, Dave Taromi here. I just want to say, as the only, I believe, Long Islander here, native Long Islander, oh, I know I'm the only Islander fan here on the panel. So I just want to say,
sorry about that.
Yeah, listen, hey. But I'm a Knicks fan too. But anyway, so congratulations. We wish you well. All of Long Island, I believe, is cheering for you. So go get them, man.
Well, thanks so much. I certainly will try, and all the best.
All right. With a big round of applause for Matt. Gang, we're rooting for you, man. Let's go.
Come on, Dobbins.
Let's go, Dobbins.
Here we go.
We will take a break on that note. Bill Bradley, still to come on this great edition of the Clubhouse from Mount Kisco Hotel MTK. We're in the hub. Come say hello. Grab a ginger ale with us. We'll continue right after this on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Hi, this is Dennis Dion Nardone. Please tune in to my show every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Playing the best of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the 80s. Pop, rock, doo-wop, funk, Motown, disco. Right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com worldwide. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Please tune in.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Clubhouse, 7:30. We're here in Mount Kisco, and Dennis Dion Nardone promoting his show. I know of another music show Sunday morning at 9 a.m. called Meet the Beatles. I just want to throw that out there.
Now, do you actually talk to the Beatles?
I speak to John, but normally it's, it's a different kind of conversation.
It's in your dream.
Yes.
Exactly. You don't have a show called Meet the Mets.
Yeah, I should do a show called Meet the Mets.
As a Yankee fan, you really should not do that.
No, I probably shouldn't do that. Nice. So, no, I do not talk to John or George. Paul and Ringo, one day maybe. You never know.
There you go.
Do we have our... we do.
It
is a true honor to introduce Mr. Bill Bradley, a two-time NBA champion, NBA Hall of Famer, former U.S. Senator, author, and lifelong storyteller. Bill, welcome to the Clubhouse.
Thank you, guys.
So we have so many topics, Bill, the Knicks playoff run. But before we talk about all that thing, I want to talk a little bit about your film, Rolling Along, An American Story. My wife and I watched it again last night. It's unbelievable. Tell us a little bit about the whole film.
Yeah, sure. It's called Rolling Along, An American Story. It's on Max. And basically what happened was I gave my political papers to Princeton, and they did an oral history. They interviewed about 50 people. I invited them all to a reception. 40 came. I stood up and told stories about each one of the 40. And one of the people there, a friend of 50 years, who produced 72 plays on Broadway, came up to me afterwards and said, this reminded me a little bit of Hal Holbrook doing Mark Twain. You ought to work something up. And so for the next year, I wrote the show. And then I took it to 20 cities around the country and workshopped it and took suggestions from people and made changes. And then I was going to do it in theaters, and then COVID hit. And I said to people, well, I have to memorize it. And they said, yeah. So I walked around Central Park for a couple of months memorizing it. And then every day at 3:30 in the rec room of our apartment building in the city, I would do it. And it kind of got around. Sometimes two people came, sometimes four people, sometimes five people, sometimes 14. And then I decided that, you know, I wasn't going to go into theaters. It was still a little COVID-y. And so what I did was I rented a theater on 42nd Street and had five cameras. And I did it four nights in a row. And the result is the film. And it's a labor of love. And really why I did it was I thought it might be able to, you know, bring us together a little bit as people. Because I tell my story, a very vulnerable and intimate story, in hopes that other people would see themselves a little bit in the film and that it could celebrate our common humanity. And ultimately, I think that's what it's all about, our common humanity. It's not just R's and D's. It's who we are as human beings about our lives.
I got to tell you, Bill, so with the Olympics coming up, the story that you had in the show was with the Olympic basketball team with the Russians. Tell our audience a little bit about that. That was very, very funny. So,
I was selected for the Olympic basketball team back in 1964. You know, in the Paleolithic era. I thought we might end up playing the Soviet Union, then Soviet Union, because they had the second best basketball program in the world. I went to a Russian professor at college, and I said, can you give me a few words in Russian that I could use in case I get into trouble in a game out there against the Soviets? And he said, well, what do you want to know in Russian? And I said, how about, hey, big fella, watch out. And so he gave me the words, and sure enough, we get to the finals of the Olympics. We are playing the Soviet team. My man's 6'7", 240. About 8 minutes in the game, he cracks me with an elbow up on my upper chest and my lower neck. And I remember what the professor said, though. So I gather myself up, I look him right in the eye, and I say, Bucha Astarosna, which liberally translated means, hey, big fella, watch out. And the funny thing happened, because up until that moment, they called all their plays verbally. But after that moment, since they thought I understood Russian, they stopped talking to each other. We went and won the gold medal.
That is awesome.
Incredible. Mark, I'm going to chime in here, and I'm going to refer to you as Senator Bradley because that's the way Don Imus always referred to you. All those times I used to listen to you on Imus in the morning. But 54 years ago tonight, you had 17 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and won the NBA championship. It's one of the most historic nights in New York sports history, and it's an honor to speak to you. What do you remember from that night?
Well, that was 1970. What I remember from that night was, of course, the fifth game where Willis, our star center, Willis Reed, went down. And we then went and was out. And then we went to L.A. for the sixth game and got beaten by 30 points. And Wilt Chamberlain had about 40 points. And we came back. It's the seventh game. Nobody knew whether Willis was going to play or not. Even when we left the locker room, now Dave DeBuscher told me later he knew because he stuck around and asked Willis, but I don't know if I believe that or not, but whatever, that's what he said. Well, I didn't know. And so I'm on the court, and all of a sudden warming up, and suddenly there's a roar in the garden. There's only the garden roar closed, right? And it's Willis walking out. Take a few practice shots. We begin the game, and about the second time down, he hangs around the top of the key, and I throws on the ball, and Wilt is hanging under the basket. You know, he doesn't come out to guard. So Wilt shoots, makes it. It's four or five times up and down the court again. Same play. He shoots it, makes it. The roof goes off. Walt Frazier went on and had, I think, the greatest seventh game in the history of individual performance in the NBA Finals, where he got 36 points, 19 assists, 12 rebounds. I mean, it was the game of the century, and it was all inspired by Willis. And we were the world champion because of that.
And Dave DeBuscher had a great night. 18 points, 17 rebounds as well. By the way, it just broke that Nikola Jokic just won the NBA MVP. So I just wanted to throw that out. Dave, over to you.
Senator Dave Taromeo, thank you for joining us. I think all of us here are Knicks fans, and we do appreciate those two championships. And I also appreciate the fact that that team played like a team. It was a team sport back then. And I have to be honest, I lost some interest in the NBA over the years because that was not the focus team. It was more on the individual. But this Knicks team really does play like a team together. What are your thoughts on this team?
I love this team. I love the Villanova guys. Yep. What did they get, about 95 points the other night?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Hart and Brunson. They clearly know how to play with each other, right? And it's kind of contagious on the team. Thibodeau's done a good job getting them all to play together. And they hit the open man. Occasionally they dribble too much, but in the course of the NBA, not many teams can do it better than they do it right now. And so I just, once a Knicks fan, always a Knicks fan. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And, if they win tonight and they lose at least one game back in the home territory of the opponent, then I'll be there on the fifth game.
There you go.
Love it.
And again, from the bottom of my heart, we thank you for those memories. We cherish them. But I have to go back to your Princeton days because I read something, as Mark told us you were coming on the show, which we really appreciate. And that was when I was at the football – I worked for the Football Foundation and got to know a gentleman by the name of Dick Kazmaier. And you have a connection to him somehow, right?
Well, he was one of my childhood idols. I mean, I grew up on the sandlots of Crystal City, Missouri, small town with one stoplight, and he was the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
And so when I'd go across to the churchyard to play football with my buddies, I'd want to be Dick Kazmaier. So, yeah, that's...
You wore his number at Princeton?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I didn't intentionally wear his number. My freshman year, I think I had, 24, 50, no, 52 or something like that. And I just reached in the bag my sophomore year on the varsity and it pulled out 42. And so I just took 42. So it was meant that I would wear Kazmaier's jersey.
Right. Okay.
And later, you know, he became a good friend. And he was a staunch Republican, but he was for me up in Massachusetts in 2000. And, that's what friends do.
Yep.
Hey, Senator, this is Brian Kroll. I'm merely a guest here on the Clubhouse, but I have this great opportunity to ask you a question and just would love to hear your perspective on the incredible work of Caitlin Clark and what her year has meant to basketball in general and certainly for female basketball and the future of the WNBA. Just some perspective from Bill Bradley on the Caitlin Clark story.
I love Caitlin Clark. I watched every one of those games I could see. She is amazing. The range of her shot, the passes, the precision of her passes. She moves all the time without the ball. She's going to be a big thing in the WNBA. There's no question about that. And I have a little special feel for her because her coach was, this is the way you divide people in life, was back for me back in 2000 in Iowa. And Lisa Bloder. And I love Caitlin. I think that I saw her on some workout she had with the team that drafted her. Fever, and they never stopped, and she kept hitting the long shots, even with the pros guarding her. So I love the enthusiasm. I love the ball movement. I love the defense. I love the spirit. I love the teamwork, the camaraderie. I hope that she is turning the page in women's basketball with a snap. I mean, it's not exactly like women's basketball was unknown. My gosh, here's Dawn Staley winning the whole thing, right? And she's the coach now, but she was a great player. And, of course, I wrote a book called Values of the Game back in the, when I was right after I retired. And large segments of the book were about women basketball players. But I'm a big fan of Caitlin Clark.
So Bill Bradley in his prime or Caitlin Clark, who had the better outside shot?
She has more range than I do.
Fair enough.
But then we never had a three-point shot, so I never
That's
worked
true. That's true.
That's a good That's point. A very good
Apples
point.
And oranges. Yeah, can't do that.
Very good.
The Busher Bradley.
I got another point. I might have gone out another 3 feet.
There you go. All right, Bill, rolling back to rolling along, tell us about the world champion New York Knicks team relating to your current divisions in America. Because I know that you had mentioned that in the show, so I'd like our audience to know about that.
Related to what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
So tell us about the New York teams that relating to our current divisions, how the Knicks were a team.
Oh, divisions.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, the most important line in the film comes toward the end where I talk about, you know, maybe if we could live our life and our society the more way the Knicks team played back in the 70s, we'd be better off. And by that, I mean, you know, take responsibility for yourself, respect your fellow human being, disagree with them openly, honestly, and candidly, enjoy their humanity. And then the big one, never look down on people you don't understand. I think that's the credo for life. It's the credo for championships, in my opinion. Our Nick team was a team of individuals who loved each other and supported each other. And to me, that was the unique aspect of the experience. That, you know, they're still friends. You know, I see Clyde the other night at the Garden. We embrace. I'm sorry that Dave is not around. And Dick Barnett is going to finally be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's been sick for a long while, and I'm going to try to get up there.
Yes.
Because it's a big thing for him. It's a big thing for me. It's a big thing for anybody that wanted to share what those Knicks teams meant to New York. If they meant anything, and I think to me, in some ways they did. But what they meant to the players themselves, you know, the kind of teamwork that we had on the court and liked each other off the court, which is really rare, and yet we did. And we've had friendships that have lasted 50 years or more. And so I was very privileged to be there. And that's one of the things that I celebrate in life on the in rolling along. I do celebrate the basketball part, but then I talk about political life as well, and then a lot about my own personal life. And again, in the hope of getting other people to see that they can resonate with elements of that and emphasize our common humanity, which I think is the only way out of the division that we have in the country right now.
Well, Bill, I want to ask one more thing because I want to tell our audience about your award-winning weekly radio show on Sirius XM, which Mr. Kroll, who's joined us, American Voices. So tell us about that real quickly.
Well, I have a show on Sirius XM, POTUS Channel 124, on Sundays at 11 and 12. And it is, I've done about 490 shows. I've been doing it 17 years. And I have amassed about 1,500 interviews of people all over the country. And there are a couple kinds of interviews. One is somebody that has an unusual job, like the woman that goes into the Everglades and captures pythons, for example, believe it or not. Or people who are doing something selfless in their community, like the guy that shines shoes at Pittsburgh Children's Hospital for 46 years. And out of every tip, you put a portion of that tip into a fund to pay for poor kids' health care. And the day I interviewed him, he put over $100,000 into that fund. That's the second type of interview, selfless in the community. And the third is just people I want to interview. It might be George Shultz, former Secretary of State. It might be Paul Volcker, former Fed chairman. It might be Bonnie Raitt, one of my favorite singers.
Oh, yeah,
it might
be
Max Weinberg,
like
drummer
her.
In the East Street Band. I mean, you know. So that's the show, and I've been doing it now almost 16 years, so it's a act of love. I mean, I get paid $1 a year, but I am amassing stories, and the stories are, I think, important for people to hear. Some of the reasons that I told the stories in Rolling Along.
Well, you know, Bill, we're paid about the same amount of money here at the clubhouse, so we understand that.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Yeah, at least you don't have to worry about the IRS.
There you go.
It's true.
I cannot thank you enough, Senator Bill Bradley. Thank you so much for joining us on the clubhouse. It was great. Rolling Along, an American Story, available on Max right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Senator.
I'm a 24,
that's humbling.
Baby.
I know.
That is humbling. That was really cool.
That may
cool.
have been our
that's a highlight. 7:47 here on the clubhouse. Can the band come in, or are we good with the band?
The band can come in.
Okay, the band can come in. Band, please. I'm humbled. Please play.
The Clubhouse Report with your host, Mark Jeffers.
Well, thank you, Rob, and welcome to the Clubhouse Report. You know, in the old days when Mr. Kroll was, the Clubhouse Report was strictly, you know, one sport besides golf.
Yeah, there were other sports.
But now we're going to...
Now it's been diluted to include everything.
But everything.
But
please.
But I always end on the links.
Wait for the soccer part.
Yeah, wait for the cornhole update.
Let's start
playing golf, and you're going to like it.
There we go.
Let's start on the ice in NHL Stanley Cup action. The New York Rangers have taken a 2-0 game lead against the Carolina Hurricanes with a thrilling double overtime 4-3 victory last night. Game 3 is set for tomorrow night in Carolina with a 7 o'clock face-off. Thoughts?
Oh, it was a fantastic game. Igor Shesterkin stood on his head. He was tremendous. And Vincent Trocheck has that extra gear that knows how to stand up in the big moments. The concern for me is Trouba going in the penalty box way too many times. I mean, every time I turned around, it was, okay, number 8 for this, that, or the other. That concerns me, but otherwise, huge win.
I would agree. Dave?
No, I think, listen, the Rangers are playing well. They're up 2-0. Carolina is a team that beat my team, the Islanders. They love to dive. And, you know, it's here's the thing I would say about both the Knicks and the Rangers. Grab that brass ring. If you're going to go for it, get it this year. Because you never know what's going to happen in the future.
All right. In the NBA playoff, the New York Knicks are 1-0 against the Indiana Pacers with Game 2 set for tonight at Madison Square Garden with an 8 o'clock tip-off. The Knicks bench will have to respond as center Mitchell Robinson is out now for the playoffs, re-injuring his left ankle. Again, Rob, I turn to you. Your thoughts?
It's very concerning that Robinson is out, although he was basically playing game one on one leg. So you'd like to think that others will pick up the slack. Hartenstein has been good in the paint. I would like to see him step up and be a big part. Josh Hart, by the way, is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all are. I mean,
Jalen Brunson's
right, but are they going to get tired? I mean, it can only.
Well, that's the thing. How long can they last at this pace?
At this point, Jalen Brunson, Aaron Judge are basically the two biggest names in New York.
Oh, and Brian Kroll.
And Brian Kroll, of course. Well, we all know that.
Of course.
Well, let's turn to some Sandlot action. The New York Mets were rained out this afternoon in St. Louis, and will make up that game on August 5th. They host their arch-rival, the Atlanta Braves, in a 3-game series this weekend at Citi Field. Over in the Bronx, the New York Yankees once again blasted the Houston Astros 10-3.
The Astros stink.
The two will play again in the stadium tonight with a 7:05 first pitch.
I will check in on that.
You will check on that.
Brutal.
Yankees lead 4-1.
See?
There you go.
There you go.
Mystic Dan.
Oh, Mystic Dan. That was a great race. Oh, my goodness.
20-1, long shot to win. Yeah. Finished inches ahead of Sierra Leone, second place, and Forever Young, my horse, third place. I know, third place.
I got it.
I know.
You like those Japanese horses, huh?
To win the 150th Kentucky Derby, the $5 million total purse was amongst the richest in Derby history.
Can I just tell you something?
Yes.
Every year I do some sort of goofy little wagering routine. So this year I get 21 golf balls. I number them all. I put them in a bag. I shuffle them up, and I line them up randomly. And then I putt towards the hole. Just quick speed putting. So these 21 balls go toward the hole. I go over and I pick the one closest or in the hole, and that is my horse to bet on. It was Mystic Dan.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Did you bet him?
Yes. You can check the internet.
You can't putt.
But, wow. But did you win money?
I should have put some money on my own process, which is sad.
You didn't put...
No.
I will add 5-1 Yankees, Stanton and Judge, both home runs.
They're playing a minor league team right now.
By the way, huge poker event tomorrow night at Citi Field. My buddy Jeff McNeil on the Mets with his friend Hank Azaria, another big name out there. But the two of them are running a celebrity charity poker tournament that is in conjunction with the Met PGA Foundation.
Can our audience get tickets? Met or is that PGA. Something they can?
They absolutely can. Met.pga.com or call the Metropolitan section of the PGA office tomorrow morning. I guarantee you can get in there and see Hank Azaria, Jeff McNeil, a bunch of New York Mets. They're all playing poker for charity. It's a fantastic
event. That's great. Because I hope McNeil plays poker better than...
No, whenever...
He's not hitting right now. I'm a Met fan.
Brian and I are old friends, and we used to play poker together. It was kind of charity because he would always give me his money.
Yeah.
Jeffers showed up with his penny rolls. It was embarrassing.
All right. So now here's... This will keep Kroll quiet for a while. In MLS action...
We called him Copper.
The New York Red Bulls are off to a good start with a 4-2-5 record, Brian.
I can't believe it.
And currently in fourth place, NYFC is 4-5-2 and in seventh place in the East.
Oh,
on the women's side... In the NWSL, Gotham FC is 2-2-2 in early season action.
Very symmetrical.
I enjoy the white soccer.
Okay.
All right. Turning to some auto racing news. Bob Small, get your mic set. Get ready. Are you nervous?
Sound effects for that. Too bad.
Lando Norris
won
his first ever Formula One Grand Prix 7.6 seconds ahead of heavy favorite, and my family was shocked that he didn't win. Max Verstappen in Miami, giving McLaren their first win in the U.S. since 2012.
Shocked. It's the first time.
Shocking.
It's the first time Red Bull didn't win this season. And the last season, probably.
Is he done now? You think he's going to be done?
Who's that, Red Bull?
No.
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 Norris?
Verstappen is done? He's done now? He's never going to win again?
He's going to win every other race.
I know.
Virtually, anyway.
Virtually.
You know what I would love to see? Just a whole new thing. It's going to start here on the clubhouse.
But
you go to your local Ford dealer or Chevy dealer or whatever you prefer. You get 20 of the same model car off the lot, and you randomly put them at the starting line, and you get 20 of these NASCAR or Grand Prix race car drivers, put them in these standard automobiles, and go. You tell me who's going to win in a situation like that. I can relate to that.
I'm in.
I can relate to that. I want to see them out there in domestic vehicles. That will prove their greatness as drivers.
On the Sawmill Parkway.
On the Sawmill, even better.
I think the Acura family will be in there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, they're driving, you know, cars that are $30 million. All right, sorry.
On the NASCAR circuit.
There we go.
Kyle Larson came around Chris Bouchard on the final lap. Banged doors with him.
It was like just as close a race as that horse race was.
And actually, I think it was like Brian driving home. He banged doors all the way to the finish line.
Oh, rubbing his racing.
To win the Advent Health 400 at the Kansas Speedway.
Down the stretch there.
And over on the links, Brian Cole will not be able to talk about any of this. Taylor Pendrith won the CJ Cup Byron Nelson on his first ever PGA Tour win due to a bogey collapse from Ben Colas and scoring a birdie on the 18th green in Dallas, Texas to create a two-shot swing.
Yeah, that was it's heartbreaking to see someone fall apart a bit. But, I mean, a great run by Coles. I mean, he did a great job there. But everyone's feeling for him with that little chip shot. It should have been a standard up and down, and he dumped it. And anyway, congratulations to Pendrith, his first win, and away we go. We'll see how he heads into the Wells Fargo. It's an elevated event this week, which is going to be great. Quail Hollow, fantastic venue for golf. And, of course, we've got the PGA Championship right after that.
Well, it's on my next list of questions for you.
Ooh.
I know.
Okay.
And that will wrap it up for this week's Clubhouse Report.
Wow.
Bob, back to you.
I don't know if we've ever heard a better one.
Wow. You know, I remember it back 26
was
years
it better
ago,
back then?
And it's deteriorated.
Oh, gee, okay. Fair enough.
So now it's time to have some fun with Brian. No. The Hub at Hotel MTK, now known to be the center of all things social.
I get it. Hub, center.
Enjoy
well done.
Enjoy a refreshing cocktail. A local draft beer, Brian.
Yes. The IPA is fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Tasty appetizers,
yep.
Salads, sandwiches.
And the service.
And the service. And the chef's nightly dinner specials, which you'll never see, Brian, in this innovative gathering spot.
Mm-hmm. Very
yes.
nice.
All right.
Nice.
What does that say about the rest of us?
There you all know the rest of us.
I don't know.
So, Mr. Kroll, who do you like in the PGA Championship, besides Matt, of course, coming up in a couple weeks in Valhalla?
That is a little championship within the championship for me. So of the 20 members of the Corebridge Financial PGA Club Professional Group, I am rooting for a handful of them to make it to the weekend. That, to me, is a huge victory if we can get one of them through. Now, that takes me back to 2023 and the Michael Block story.
Yep.
That club professional put on a historic performance, finished in a tie for 15th,
right,
and earned his way back to Valhalla. In a way no one expected. That was dramatic and incredible. So hopefully we see more excitement like that for the club pros. But I'm feeling pretty good about McIlroy, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
He played very well the last time they had the PGA Championship there. And I think he's in pretty good form. And I'm going with McIlroy.
Who's the best golfer in the world right now in your mind? Never mind what the rankings say.
Well, besides, hold on. Besides,
it's Scottie Scheffler.
It's still Scottie Scheffler.
I'm not allowed to say anything else because it would be silly.
Don't be silly.
If you just smile a bit.
Well, I was going to follow up with that. Is his personality an issue?
It's yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think it is an issue. I think he's so good and he's so balanced and he has such a normal, regular approach to his greatness that it doesn't play as well on television as we might want it to.
Buy the guy an IPA, see what happens.
Bring him to the Hub. Buy him an IPA.
You see what's going to happen here is his wife, Meredith, is due any day
now. That's right. That's right.
So that could throw a monkey wrench in all of this. All of a sudden you become a dad.
Yeah.
And priorities will change a touch. Yeah. And I think the entire PGA Tour is rooting for him to not only become a dad, but try again. Have kid number two on the way.
You know, it's funny because you think about Payne Stewart winning the U.S. Open, mm-hmm, or with Phil Mickelson.
At Pinehurst.
At Pinehurst, and he was like, hey, you're going to be a dad.
Yep.
You know, priorities, right?
It is, and nobody out there. That's frankly.
We miss Payne Stewart. That's the problem. Yeah. We have nobody like him.
Well, that's the perspective that Scheffler has gives him an edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outstanding show. The producer outdid himself tonight.
Amazing.
Or themselves.
Stupendous.
Great show. And I must say, thank you so much to my dear friend, Mr. Kroll, for joining us tonight. It was wonderful.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We will do it again next week.
We will. We'll be here next week.
Thank you, of course, to Sean Kilkelly in the studio. Thanks to Delina behind the bar. Great job, of course, by everybody here at Hotel MTK at the Hub here in Mount Kisco. For our host emeritus, Brian Kroll. Of course, for Bob Small, Dave Taromio, Mark Jeffers, Sean Kilkelly, I'm Rob Adams. Thanks for listening to The Clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. We'll see you next week from Mount Kisco. Good night, everyone.